This morning's reading is from the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. So I was thinking about what Jesse said, being, you know, being in prayer for your teachers and all that good stuff, because he can't wait for his kids to go back to school. And it's really all about perspective, though, because I will say he can't wait for his to go back to school. My youngest, well, this will be his last first day of school. So it's a little different in my family as we approach this new school year. So it's going to be a little bit different. But it's all about perspective sometimes when you look at things. But we should be mindful of all those that are going back. I know a lot of schools actually start this week. Others will start in a few weeks. Lots of hopes and dreams, and hopefully be in prayer with our administrators and our teachers and our students and all those who make that possible. But before we, my kid goes back to school, we're starting this brand new worship series, as we talked about, as Jesse mentioned, and we're focusing on one of the best known stories of all time. It's probably a story you heard either in Sunday school, maybe growing up, or in Vacation Bible School, or maybe you've never been to church, you probably have heard this story. But it's the story of Jonah. And it's a great story, and that's what great stories do. You know, they stay with us, they draw us in, they engage us, they invite us to invest. On Sunday morning when I preach, there'll be folks who will just, they can't help it, they just doze off, all right? And you know who you are, because I see you. I can start to tell a story all of a sudden, and they'll perk right up. Because that's what stories do. They wake us up, they draw us in. And the really good ones, they do more than just entertain us. They help us understand things better, don't they? They help us understand difficult topics. They help us understand maybe things about the world that are difficult to wrestle with, or to better understand God and how the world works. It's why Jesus told stories. I read the Gospels. Jesus told lots of stories. We call them parables. But what did he tell those stories? Why? Because he was helping us better understand who he was, who we were, who are, what the kingdom of God is all about. And so he told stories, because stories have a way of doing that for us. And the best ones are the ones that endure and are passed down from generation to generation to generation. And Jonah is one of those stories. Now, the tricky thing about Jonah is, it's such a great story. It has lots of wonderful and wild kind of details. But if we're not careful, we can get stuck there with those wonderful things. We can get hung up on those things and actually miss the deeper meaning of the story itself. For instance, when you think of the story of Jonah, when you hear that name, what comes to mind? Usually it's Jonah and the
whale,
exactly. So we got all these images of whales. So for some, it might be this kind of image. Right? More of a Moby Dick kind of whale image, I don't know. Right? Or maybe this one comes to mind. Anybody recognize that film? Yes, Walt Disney's Pinocchio. And in the story, Geppetto, his dad is swallowed by a whale. Guess what? Does the writer of that story, I think his name's Carlo Collodi. I mean, he based the story of Pinocchio loosely on the story of Jonah. For some, they hear the story of Jonah and the whale, and they think of a naked guy running away from this big fish. I don't know if that's you, but if it is, we got counseling for you, okay? If you're younger, you may have learned this story through these guys. Right? VeggieTales, they do a pretty good, they do a pretty good job of it. But all of us, you know, we have these images that come to our mind when we think about this story of Jonah and the whale. Well, not to burst your bubble too much this morning. The scriptures don't really tell us whether it was a whale or not. Right, really, this is what it says in Jonah, in the first chapter. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. So it might have been a whale, we don't know, or maybe it's just this big old fish. But to be honest, that really doesn't matter because that's not the focus of the story. The focus of the story is not the fish, it's not the whale. It's not just a nice little children's story. Because if that is as far as you get, you're going to miss really what the story is all about. And for me, when I read it, it's really about God's disruptive kind of grace and how we're a lot like Jonah. There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us as well. But really, it's about, you know, this disruptive grace. And grace, if you recall, is, you know, it's kind of God's undeserved, you know, it's God's undeserved gift of love to us, his acceptance of us in spite of us. Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this: for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it is a gift, and every religion tells us what we should do. What I love about Christianity is that it begins with what God has done through Christ. That's the difference. Grace is a part of that because grace isn't earned, it is something that we receive. And it sounds all warm and fuzzy when you think about it, but there's an edge to grace as well. It's disruptive, as we'll discover here in Jonah's story when we dig into it. So that's what we're going to do. Over these next several weeks, we're going to dig into the story. It's only 4 chapters long, so we'll do a chapter each week. But I think what we'll find is that it's going to challenge our understanding of grace, how we receive it, how we extend it to others as well. All right, so if you're going to have if you brought a Bible, bring a Bible with you, it's always good. You got to find, where do you find Jonah? It's in the Old Testament, exactly. And it's between those A-lister prophets of Obadiah and Micah. Right? So, yeah, it's only 4 chapters long. So it's not the easiest place to find in the scriptures there. But right between Obadiah and Micah, you'll find Jonah. And this first chapter just sets the stage, it sets the tone. As Pam read, you know, a moment ago, it starts like this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of, how do we say it, Pam?
Amittai.
There you go. She was working on it. I don't know. It says, Amittai. So go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. All right, so it's important to understand, right from the beginning, these two cities that are mentioned. So the first one is Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Now, if you were to find Nineveh today, you'd have to go to modern-day Turkey. So we got a little map that kind of gives you a little idea that the Assyrian Empire map. So that's, just picture modern day Iraq, and there's real fun. Nineveh. The other city mentioned is Tarshish. Now Tarshish is located about, we got a map that shows us where it is. It's not over the hill, it is on the other side of the world, of the known world at the time. So you think about what we call Spain today, and a little west of Gibraltar, you would find the city of Tarshish. So it was about 2,500 miles from Jack there. So it was not only the polar opposite geographically, okay, but it was also the polar opposite in terms of what they represent. So Nineveh represents the Assyrian Empire, the evil empire of Assyria. So think of the Galactic Empire or Jesse will recognize this in the Kree Empire, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, that's from what?
That's from Marvel.
Yes, exactly. I knew he'd know that. In case a Marvel nerd, just so you know. Anyway, so you think about that. That's Assyria. Yeah, that's or Panem. Okay, for some of us, little Hunger Games, Panem. That's Nineveh represents kind of the evil empire. Tarshish, though, is the opposite. All right, so Nineveh's darkness, violence, brokenness. Tarshish is paradise. So think of Hawaii or whatever paradise is for that for you. So it represents comfort and beauty and escape, all those wonderful things. So God calls Jonah to go where, though? To go to Nineveh. But where does Jonah go? It's the exact opposite of Nineveh, the exact opposite direction, all the way to the end of the world as they knew it then, to Tarshish. So twice we're told in this opening section that Jonah is running from the Lord. God is moving toward Nineveh. Jonah is moving toward Tarshish. Now, I can understand that because if I was Jonah, I would be going, aloha, let's go, right? But you know what? This tells us something about God, doesn't it? This contrast. That God's attention is drawn where? To the places of brokenness. God's compassion moves toward those places that most of us, we'd rather avoid. So God's not about just blessing or blessing the comfortable. God is about redeeming what's broken. And even though God is everywhere, and the scripture affirms that, it just reminds you that God gives special attention, again, to the hurting, to the forgotten, to the overlooked, to the lost. That God moves toward restoration. There is no lost cause to God. And so if that is who God is, then the question for us becomes, if that's where God's heart is, and the question for us is, is our heart? Where's our heart in that as well? And this is why I say grace is disruptive. Because we like categories, don't we? We like to say, well, these are the good people, these are the bad people, these are the people who deserve grace, these are the people who should get what they have coming for them. These are the people that we like. These are the people that we don't like. And yet Jonah reminds us that God's grace ignores every one of the categories that we come up with. Yeah, I'm reminded of a quote by the author Anne Lamott in her book, Traveling Mercy. And she writes this. She says, you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people that you do. It's true, isn't it? Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, it stings a little bit. Oh, goodness. Had a colleague of mine share their experience. They were going to visit a person on death row. Something I've never, ever done. And he said, it's my first time inside a maximum security prison. And he said, with every locked gate and every steel door that closed behind me, I felt farther and farther away from God. He said, however, as I sat down across from a man who had committed a horrific crime, something unexpected happened. He said, there was a peace about this death row inmate unlike anything I had ever experienced. Because here was a man who had committed a horrible crime who knew that the electric chair awaited him. And yet there was a sense of peace about him. So this man knew Jesus and Jesus knew him, and he was different because of it. Now that didn't excuse anything that he had done or what had brought him to that place. But my colleague said, I thought I had left Jesus out in the parking lot. And instead, I found him in the middle of a prison. Because he met me in the belly of that prison in the form of a man who had been radically transformed by the grace of God. Interesting. We like to pick sides, don't we? Yeah, we label, we point fingers. We do so in politics. We do so in our personal lives. You know, we can go out, we're out in public somewhere, maybe at a restaurant, we're out shopping someplace, and we look around, and just unconsciously or subconsciously, you know, we make some assumptions about people, right? Maybe it's based on how they look, who they're hanging out with, how they dress, how they speak. Well, we have this tendency to do that, to lump people into a broad category. People we don't know, people we do know. Maybe our family, friends, coworkers. And yet for every line that we keep drawing that separates, God keeps erasing. God's grace keeps erasing that. That's what we find in Jonah's story. Jonah flees, you know, instead of going to Nineveh, he boards a ship bound for Tarshish. But along the way, something happens, right? It says, Jonah set out to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, found a ship going to Tarshish, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. And so the sailors, they are afraid for their lives, and they said to one another, well, come, let us cast lots so that we might know on whose account this calamity has come upon us. That's what they believe. Bad things happen because somebody's done something, so they're going to find out who's done it. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they discover, rightfully so, that Jonah is the reason of the storm. And so they wake Jonah up as Jonah's sleeping, like always. And they start grilling him with questions. Who are you? Where did you come from? What did you do? And it's interesting what Jonah says in verse 9. He says, well, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I find it interesting that here is Jonah who claims to worship the Lord, and yet he is running from the Lord. Okay. He's actively running from him. He's saying the right things, but his actions, all right, say otherwise. And I read that, and I'm like, a little bit of Jonah in me. Maybe there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. Because we have this tendency, you know, I think we all do, that if we're not careful, we can claim to be a follower of Christ, but do so maybe in name only. And sort of like Jonah, you know, we know the right words, but maybe our lives are moving in the opposite direction. Somewhere along the way, maybe me begins to take the center of everything rather than Christ. And our faith begins to reflect that, where it kind of revolves around the me, you know, if I like it, if I get something out of it, if it fits my schedule, if it doesn't interfere with my plans, then what, I might show up. I might participate. You know, we form God, as I said, God in our image, right? Loving the people we love, ignoring the people we ignore. We expect the church to encourage us, to care for us, to be there for us when we need it, and yet at the same time we will invest little in worship, in participation, in generosity, in service, in spiritual growth. And so we can find ourselves, I think, like Jonah. And we can say, you know, I worship the Lord. But I wonder sometimes, are we really? Are we saying the right words, but yet what we do maybe says other words? Jonah said, I worship the Lord, and yet here's Jonah trying to get as far away from the Lord as he can. But here's the thing about God. We can run like Jonah ran, but no matter how far we run, how fast we run, how far we go, we can't escape. Psalm 139, I love it, one of my favorites, says this: where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. Jonah tries to outrun God, can't do it, can't outrun God's grace. We might feel like we're 1,000 miles away. We might want to be 1,000 miles away from God, and yet God's there all the time. His grace always travels farther than we could ever go. And Jonah is just beginning to discover that, as we'll find out. So what I want us to begin thinking about is, and what I want to challenge you with this morning is, and I believe how this first chapter of Jonah speaks to us, and that is to think about the people you have labeled, okay? Maybe someone that you've dismissed, someone you've written off maybe as a lost cause. It could be a friend, it could be a family member, a coworker, it could be an entire group of people. So what would it look like this week, though, if you were to extend some grace to them? What would it look like if you moved toward them rather than away from them? You just as God moved toward Nineveh, you moved toward them. Whoever has come to mind, you moved toward them rather than away from them. Now, I understand everything's not black and white, not everything's simple. You know, there are some folks that it is, you know, you can, you know, they can consume you and they can suck the life right out of you. Right? Okay? I'm not asking you to get caught up in someone else's, you know, stuff, maybe. But our tendency is, oh, gosh, we can just write them off. Maybe we just simply remind them that, hey, they are wrong. Might be as simple as that. So think about it is, again, who you've labeled, dismissed, maybe quietly written off as a lost cause. But then also this, and that is, sometimes we, the people that we've written off, sometimes it's just ourselves, isn't it? And we can feel 1,000 miles from God. So when that's the case, then Jonah is good news. Because God's never far from you. You can be in the darkness, the darkest of places, in a place that seems to be hopeless. And yet God's grace is already at work. You might be attempting to run from him. You can't outrun him or his grace. God's heart always moves toward the Ninevites. It's always moved by the Ninevites. Believes always moving toward the Ninevites, toward the broken places, toward the broken people. And I give thanks to God because that includes every one of us, doesn't it? We are all broken in some way. So Jonah is not a story about a whale or a fish. Right? It's a great detail. We're going to talk more about the whale and the fish next week. But it is not just simply about a whale or a fish. It's really about God's grace, that disruptive grace that continues to pursue us, refuses to give up on us, especially the ones that have been written off by us or by others, or we've been written off by them. It's a grace that continues to pursue us even when we run. We, in turn, just simply call to receive that grace and then to begin to better extend that grace to others, especially the ones that we find most challenged in our lives. There's a lot here in 4 chapters of this story that we probably learn as a kid. So I hope you'll journey with me as we can. With that in mind, let us pray. We confess, O Lord, like that we can be like Jonah. There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. Because there are times when we run from you. There are times where we choose comfort over compassion, judgment over mercy, our way rather than your way. So forgive us for all those times, O Lord. Forgive us for all the times where we have labeled those around us, where we have withheld our grace rather than to trust you. But even when we do that, oh Lord, you don't give up on us. So we give you thanks. When we wander, you pursue us. When we fall, you lift us up. When we feel that we are far away from you or you are far away from us, you never are. You're right. We cannot outrun your presence or your grace. And so fill us, O Lord, with your Spirit. Help us to see others through your eyes. Help us to follow you where you lead. May we indeed embrace your love that will never let us go. It was in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.